This podcast is brought to you by Purposefully Different Productions and is proudly sponsored by Little Dish, makers of delicious fresh meals for kids that are an absolute lifesaver on busy days. I love these meals because they are different to other kids' meals out there. They include a variety of ingredients, lots of textures, and are made with little taste buds in mind. Before we get started on today's episode, here's a word from our friend Giovanna Fletcher.
At Little Dish, we've spent years perfecting delicious, healthy, fresh meals guaranteed to be eaten by kids. Except when you sprinkle cheese on top instead of letting them do it, or if the Little Dish is served on the red plate or the yellow plate or the blue plate, or when you talk over them, or when they can't wear their Ranger antlers because it's summer and they're in the loft, or on Mondays or on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and potentially even Sundays. Good luck and Godspeed. Little Dish. Healthy food kids love. Find us in the chilled aisle.
Hello and welcome back to How to Feed with me, Charlotte Sterling-Reed, the parenting podcast that brings you reassurance, confidence and practical advice on feeding your baby, toddler and your whole family. Today's episode, we're diving into a topic that is really at the heart of raising happy and healthy eaters. And that topic is responsive feeding. Whether you're just starting out with weaning, or whether you're navigating toddler mealtime battles, this episode is definitely going to be for you. Now, in my experience, parents are often worried about how much their baby or toddler is eating. And it's totally understandable to have this worry. We know that kids need food to fuel them for survival. And we also know the importance of healthy, balanced diet and nutrition for young children from a young age. So it makes sense that we often really focus on what and how much is actually going in. Is it enough? Will they be getting all they need? Should they be eating more? Will they be growing properly? Is their brain okay? We've all had these kinds of worries, including myself on a number of occasions and with both my children. So the episode I recorded with Giles Yeo, who is a geneticist from Cambridge University, should hopefully offer a little reassurance. But I wanted this episode to be about a topic called responsive feeding. I'm going to explain more about this, but first of all, a bit of reassurance from me. Here's the good news. Babies and toddlers are actually really good at regulating their own appetites. When we offer them a variety of nutritious foods, most little ones will eat the amount they need to grow and thrive. That's why we don't have any portion size guides for babies at all, and why we don't necessarily need any rigid portion size guides or rules for toddlers either. There is no one size fits all. Some little ones will eat much more than what is considered typical, and some will eat a lot less. Both are completely okay. Every child is going to be unique with how much they need and with their own energy and nutrient needs. I remember my son Rafi used to eat really big portions and they were so much bigger than the typical portion size for his age. And in all honesty, that was absolutely fine for him. He still has big portions to this day. And my daughter was exactly the opposite. And sometimes it's really important to remember that children's appetites are meant to be variable. It's not a flaw, it's actually a feature. Their intake can change from day to day, from meal to meal, and from week to week. And I have seen this firsthand with my own kids. Children's appetites might really ramp up during a growth spurt, or they might dip if they're teething or feeling under the weather. Just like us as adults, some days we might be ravenous and other days we're just not that hungry. However, I totally get the concern. It's such a relatable worry. And as parents, we're constantly walking this tightrope between not wanting to overfeed, but also being really desperate not to leave our little ones too hungry as well. So let's talk about a concept that I love, which is the division of responsibility in feeding. And it's developed by Ellen Satter. Here is how it works. Firstly, parents, so we are responsible for the what, the when, and the where food is offered. Children are responsible for how much of that food they eat and whether they eat it at all. The idea of this model is to take the pressure off from both sides. You as a parent provide the structure and the food, and your child decides how much they actually need of that food. It's a really beautiful way to build trust and also reduce that mealtime stress and taking the pressure off us as parents. I often like to use this quite memorable phrase, you've decided what goes on their plate, but they've decided what and how much they ate. So what actually is the term responsive feeding? What do we mean by this? Responsive feeding is all about tuning into your child's cues, responding to their hunger and their fullness signals in a really supportive and communicative way. According to UNICEF and the World Health Organization, responsive feeding means offering food when your child shows signs of hunger and stopping when they show signs of fullness. But responsive feeding isn't just about what or how much they eat, and it isn't just about watching out for cues and signs. It's actually about creating a dialogue, a two-way back and forth communication between you and your child at mealtimes. I like to think of it as a bi-directional communication, communication that goes both ways. So for example, your child expresses a need through their body language, their gestures, their words, and you as a parent respond. And this bit in the middle is where the magic really happens. Over time, this back and forth communication builds trust, and it helps your child to learn how to listen to their own body, as well as helping you learn how to listen to them and to trust them as well. So now babies and toddlers can't always say, "I'm full" or "I need more food." So it's up to us to observe and respond to their cues, whether that's them turning their head away, whether that's them pushing food away, or whether that's them reaching out for more. What really matters is how we respond, because when we do so in a really consistent and respectful way, children learn that actually their signals to us are valid. They therefore then begin to trust their own internal cues, and they learn how to communicate those needs much more clearly, even without using words. This is a really powerful foundation for a healthy relationship with food. And it's a simple loop. They signal, we respond. And they learn that their cues lead to predictable and supportive outcomes for us as a caregiver. That's how self-regulation for your little one will start. And it's all in those early days. However, if we override their cues by insisting we're on just one more bite, or by withholding food when they're clearly hungry, or even by coaxing or pressuring them to eat, or even shaming them about the food that they are eating, we actually risk teaching them to ignore their own bodies. And over time, that can disrupt their natural ability to regulate how much they eat. Now, really importantly, this doesn't mean offering food every time they ask for food. Responsive feeding isn't about constant access. It's actually about offering a structure and a routine while still allowing your child to lead it when it comes to how much they eat within those mealtimes. Responsive feeding actually supports a child's appetite, self-regulation, and it's really all about their ability to eat according to their own internal cues of hunger and satiety. And we really want them to be able to tap into that from a young age. Research shows that children who are actually supported in following their own hunger and fullness cues are much more likely to maintain a healthy weight and to develop positive eating habits. It's definitely not about perfect meals or clean plates. It's about connection, communication, and trust. So what do these signals actually look like? In babies, hunger might show up as rooting or turning the head towards the breast or bottle or the food. It might show up as them sucking on their hands or smacking their lips at mealtimes. It might be that they become fussy or crying, especially if they calm as soon as that food is offered to them. Fullness cues in babies can be slowing down their eating or being really easily distracted during mealtimes or feeding. It might be turning their head away, or it might be relaxing their hands or even falling asleep. It might also be pushing the bottle or spoon away from them. These are signs that your little one has had enough and doesn't want any more. In toddlers and older children, hunger might actually look a little bit different. It might be asking for food or heading into the kitchen themselves. It might be reaching for food at the table. It might be becoming irritable or distracted when meals are delayed or when they are seemingly hungry. And fullness signs from older children or toddlers, well, these might look like them pushing the plate away, simply saying, "I'm done, I don't want any more." It might be them getting restless around the table, being distracted and turning their attention elsewhere, or even throwing food. Yes, that can definitely be a cue that they are done with the mealtime. Now, here is the key. These cues are really individual. What looks like hunger in one child might not be showing in the same way in another child. And they can vary from day to day, depending on things like teething, illness, growth spurts, or even just how much they've moved that day or how much they ate the day before, for example. They're always keeping on our toes, and it's really great to watch out for what your signs are in your little one. So if you're wondering how to get responsive feeding and these serving sizes right, here is my step-by-step guide. Not based on strict numbers, but on responsive feeding and ultimately real life parenting. Number one, really importantly, model balanced eating. Talk about your own hunger and fullness. It might be something as simple as, I'm feeling really hungry now, or my tummy's full, so I think I'm going to stop. Number two, offer a varied, balanced diet with plenty of nutrient-rich foods. This way, you're giving them the best foundation to choose what they need from the food that's on offer. Number three, prioritize nutrient-dense options at meals and snacks. Think whole grains, healthy fats, proteins, and colorful fruits and veggies on their plate. Number four, create a predictable routine around meals and snacks. This is really key as it helps them to build up an appetite and to know what to expect from those mealtimes. Number five, try to eat together when you can. This is really important. And at those mealtimes, try to minimize outside distractions. Mealtimes are about food, but they are also about connection. Number six, trust your child to know how much they need. It might vary from day to day, and that's okay. And it might take you a little while to learn to trust your child, but really, they're very intuitive about how much they need. Number seven, watch for their cues. Pushing the plate away, turning their head, saying they're done, as we've heard, are all signs that they don't want any more. Try to respond without pressure to eat up. If they want more, offer seconds. If they're done, let them stop the mealtime. Number eight, zoom out. Look at what your little ones are eating over a week, not just one meal. Appetite naturally ebbs and flows from day to day, from week to week, and that is perfectly expected. Number nine, use serving guides as a reference and not a rule book. Let your child lead the way on how much they want to eat at mealtimes. But I do have some really helpful resources on my website about serving suggestions if you want to know where to start. Number 10, check in with your health visitor if you are at all concerned. Understanding their growth chart can be really, really reassuring. So that's it for today's episode of How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reid. I really do hope that you're walking away with a clearer understanding of responsive feeding and how powerful it can be in shaping your child's relationship with food. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe, share it with a friend, or leave a quick review, as it really does make a difference. This podcast is brought to you with support from Little Dish, so a big thank you to them for hosting us in their headquarters. And finally, make sure you stay tuned for my next episode. It's going to be a great one. This episode of How to Feed wouldn't have been possible without my sponsors, Little Dish. Their meals are fresh, delicious, and made with ingredients that you would find in your own kitchen, making them a brilliant option for busy days.